Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to verse 19, which is today's portion. Paul, after motivating us to praise God for his heavenly blessings, now he reminds us of the importance of prayer. We need to balance worship and prayer, and orthodox and dependence, God's sovereign work and man's humble dependence. Both are most important thing. When we read chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, he talks about what God has done for us. He blessed us with heavenly blessings. Now he is talking to us and he is encouraging us to know the importance of prayer for the church. Someone said in this way, a doctor checks the pulse to check man is alive or not. We check whether a spiritual life is alive or not by checking prayer life. If someone who has prayer life, his spiritual life is alive. It will impact others. Even Puritans say many times about prayer, which they have done in their lives. Prayer should be a natural as breathing. Someone said, prayer is the life line of the believer's soul. God answers prayers in a way far beyond our understanding. Do you believe that? God answers our prayers. God always answers our prayers beyond our understanding. Even Thomas Watson, he says about prayer, fervency in prayer is as fire to incense. It makes it ascend to heaven as a sweet perfume. It induces believers to pray in faith. Let them remember the bountifulness of God. He often exceeds the prayers of his people. He says, he gave some example. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him not only wisdom, but riches and honor besides. Jacob asked that God would give him food and clothing, but the Lord increased his riches to 2 bands. The woman of Canaan asked Jesus, she asked the life of her child, but Christ not only gave her life, but also the life of her soul also. He saved that woman also. So what these Puritans are saying, God answers our prayers beyond our understanding. But what things God is going to answer, especially when you ask things that are according to the scripture, which are spiritual things. But sometimes we won't trust in prayer. We won't trust, we won't depend on God. We trust ourselves, right? But Paul is giving example. He is motivating us. An essential prayer is needed in every church. Even Jesus himself is a perfect example of prayer. He has not stopped praying as a perfect man, even though he was God on the earth. After Jesus, we have another example here, that is Paul. Paul was a man of prayer. He was not only a man of doctrines, he is a man of prayer. He prays for the church. The more he knows the doctrines, the more he kneels down before God. That we can see very clearly in this passage, and you can see other passages in the Bible. He prayed for the church. He prayed for the right things always. Today, Paul is going to teach us how to pray, an essential prayer for the church. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, are you praying? Yes. Are you praying for the church?
Yes.
So if you are praying, praise God. But if you are not praying, if you are neglecting praying for the church, Paul is going to teach you that he himself is praying for the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19, you can see that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. For this reason, I too, having heard of faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. If you see this passage, Paul is praying for the church. And Paul is, what thing he is praying for the church? Essential prayer. He is praying for important thing, that is praying for the knowledge of God. We should know who God is. But he explained, verse 3 to 14, what God has done. And don't be satisfied with that. Then he is praying that God may give understanding, God may give knowledge of himself. We must know who God is. That's what he is praying for. That's why I call the theme of this passage is an essential prayer for the church. It is very important to pray for others so that they may know who God is. They may know who God is. For whom we pray, for what we pray mostly. Spiritual growth we pray, and mostly in India, in any country, they pray for earthly things, right? But what Paul praying for here? He's praying that we may know who God is more and more, more and more. He is not satisfied with that. Look at verse 15. He says, for this reason, I too do not cease giving thanks for you. Verse 16. While making mention of you in my prayers. Paul gives the purpose of praying here. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Then verse 18, he says, I pray that you know who God is, his inheritance, his power, his calling. You should know. Don't be satisfied with whatever you heard, the heavenly blessings that you received. There are so much you should know about him. That's why, that's for that he is praying in this passage. Three marks of an essential prayer for the church. If you know, what is the marks of essential prayer? Paul is going to answer to us. Three marks of an essential prayer for the church. The first mark of an essential prayer for the church is it contains thanksgiving to God. It contains thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 15 and 16 as well. What he is saying? For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, verse 16, do not cease giving thanks. He is praying while he is mentioning what he says, verse 16, while making mention of you in my prayers. Paul tells the time that he is giving thanks, verse 16. When he is giving thanks to God, when he is praying to the Lord, whenever he is praying to the Lord and he is giving thanks to God, that's why the first mark of an essential prayer for the church is it contains thanksgiving to God. A believer gives thanks to God in good times and in bad times, in health and wealth, in sickness and poverty. Example, David, When you read his Psalms, David always gives thanks, praises God, even in bad times. You read Psalms. Always a true believer, a child of God, gives thanks to God in any time. You must go to the throne of grace with thankfulness. That is the message Paul wants to convey to us. What Paul is teaching to us through his life is that we should pray to God. We must not forget thanking him for what he has done in the past. Generally, you know, what happens? We pray, always asking God, always asking God, I want that, I want that. I told last time also, in past sermon, that when your child is asking every time, give me that, then you give that. Again, child is asking, whatever she wants or he wants, just you are giving, but she does not have gratitude. How does it feel? It is so painful, right? This child of mine, I love her. She is taking everything. She is asking all the time. She never says, he never says thank you. Even we are doing with our father, right? Whatever God is doing, giving to us, we are enjoying it and we are praying again and again, but we are not thanking him. An essential prayer for the church, it contains thanksgiving to God. You should, whenever you pray, you need to thank him. Look at verse 16. He says, do not cease giving thanks. The idea is he did not stop thanking God for the church in Ephesus. Give thanks. What does it mean? To express appreciation for benefits or blessings that God has given to us. Paul has this attitude in his life, brothers and sisters. If you read his epistles, again and again, he thanks God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. Philemon, verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So he is thanking God and he is asking us, thank God. When you are praying him, before you ask something from God, you thank him for what he has done already in your life. It is an essential prayer. Essential prayer for the church, for anybody else, it contains thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In general, he is thanking God for his heavenly blessings for the church. Look at verse 15. Please look at verse 15. For this reason, it points back to the last session, most probably, verse 3 to 14, what God has done. That point is there. What God has done? He has chosen you, he saved you in Christ, and he sealed you in Christ with the Holy Spirit. There is preservation. You know that. For this reason, I am thanking God. I did not stop thanking God. Then he gives specific reasons in verse 15. Verse 15. That is, he heard something about believers and church in Ephesus, in Asia Minor. He heard. For that he is thanking God. He did not stop thanking God whenever he prays for them. Two specific bases for thanking God ceaselessly. The first specific basis for thanking God ceaselessly is the faith of the church. Did you see that? The faith of the church. That made him, that motivated him to thank God ceaselessly. He's not stopping thanking God because of their faith. But for what things we pray, we thank God. Generally, earthly things, right? We are so happy what God has done. But for what reason Paul is thanking God? He is the faith of the church. Very simple. It is very basic thing, but most important thing. Look at verse 15. Having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, for this reason, because of your faith, I am thanking God. I am thanking God in my prayers. The better meaning of having heard in Greek is after I heard. After her, I heard. It is talking about time. When I heard about your faith, then I started thanking God for your faith. Simply, the meaning of faith literally means to have trust, belief, and confidence. Paul says that they have faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord indicates the sphere in which faith lives and acts. The faith of saints lives, acts in Christ Jesus. The faith in Christ is very crucial thing for all mankind. This is most important thing. Apart from it, there was no Christianity. There is no Christianity. No one would be saved without faith. Through faith, someone can be saved. One Bible teacher says about faith in Christ. He says like this. Listen carefully. He says, faith in Christ denotes not simply a belief. It is not simply belief that carries on intellectual assent, but one wherein the believer cleaves to his Savior with all his heart, shares the very identity of Christ. Faith is not just accepting certain things as true. It is not faith. Accepting certain things are true. That is not faith. But what is faith? He says, but trusting a person and that person in Christ Jesus. Trusting in a person, that is Jesus Christ. It is having relationship with Christ. It is not accepting some intellectual truths about Bible, about Christ. It is having relationship with Christ. That is most important thing. That's why when he heard the faith in Lord Jesus Christ, he did not stop thanking God. Such a great thing. Such a great thing. Why does God bless those who believe in Lord Jesus Christ? Why this faith is great? Do you have any doubt why this faith is great? Two descriptions of Christ in whom our faith in. The first description of Christ is, he is the sovereign. Why our faith is so great, so precious? Because he is the sovereign. Look at the word Lord. Lord. Your faith in the Lord, right? Can you see that word Lord? The Lord means one who is in position of authority, master, sovereign. This will motivate everybody to trust, have confidence in him. Because he is sovereign Lord, a man should accept that Jesus is the Lord. Why Paul is thanking ceaselessly? Because believers' faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the sovereign. So many people think about Jesus. He is man like you and me. No, Bible says again and again, he's the Lord, he's the sovereign, one who has authority over all human beings. Paul writes about the lordship of Christ in Ephesians, same chapter, look at verse 20 to 23, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him as a head over all things to the church. Can you see that Jesus Christ is the Lord? He's the sovereign one. That's why that faith is so precious. Your faith is so precious. You have faith that is so valuable and great. People should thank for that because your faith is in Lord Jesus Christ, one who is sovereign. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, He is the head over all rule and authority. Even Romans says, chapter 14, verse 9 says, For this end Christ died and lived again. He might be the Lord, both of the dead and of the living. He is the Lord of dead and living. One who has name above all names is the Lord. He is the sovereign. That's why your faith is precious. You should praise God. You should thank God because of your brother's faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Not only he is the sovereign, and also he is the savior. Look at verse 15. The word Jesus in Hebrew is literally Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Whenever you hear no Joshua, that title, that name, you should remember Jesus saves. Yahweh saves. Jesus is the Savior. He is our Savior. That's why, you know, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, She will bear a son. You shall call him, his name, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. Jesus is the sovereign. Jesus is the Savior. That's why your faith is such a great thing. People should praise for, thank God for that. Brothers and sisters, here Paul is thanking God without ceasing for their faith. What happens if you have faith? For example, if you have faith, there are some blessings you experience. The first blessing is salvation through faith. Salvation through faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you accept Jesus as your Lord, salvation through faith. The second blessings, you see, sinners receive forgiveness of sins through faith. Paul explains why did Jesus make him an apostle in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. He says to open, Jesus said to Paul like this, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to the light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Faith in me. I made you apostle so that people may receive, sinners may receive forgiveness through faith in me. By having confidence in me. Do you want to experience the forgiveness of God? You should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need salvation from your sins. You want to go to heaven. You know that people are dying around you. Then there is, you don't know when you will die, before you die. If you want to go to heaven, that you should trust in Lord Jesus Christ. The third blessings, all are sons of God. Through faith, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, through faith, we became his children. That's why, that's the reason when he heard about their faith, he is thanking God. Such a great blessing they got, spiritual blessings. The amazing thing is that those who are once evil workers and sinners, but now they are now sons of God. This is only through the work of God, through faith. Even Pastor John MacArthur, I was watching memorial service. Most of you are watching, I hope. I believe that. You can watch later also. So people are telling about his faith, how much faith he has. One of the witnesses, no, I heard, his eldest son, Pastor Sammy told, I want to remind that, he said, who do you want to see in heaven? Then he said, I want to see myself in heaven. Jesus will be there. Others will be there. I must be there. I want to see myself in the presence of Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see his faith? He is trusting not himself. He is trusting in Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot go to heaven by my works. Even though I am a great preacher. People adore me. People can not adoring, respecting him. And following him, but he is living by faith. The faith is important, brothers and sisters. Faith is important. If you are not trusting here, sitting here and coming and going and wasting your time, please trust in Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sovereign one, and also he is the Savior, one who saves you from your sins. If you are a believer, you need to recognize how Pastor John MacArthur recognized. You are living by faith. Righteous man shall live by faith alone, not by works. That's the reason Paul is thanking without ceasing. The second specific basis for thanking God ceaselessly is the love of the church. The faith of the church. The second reason, second basis is the love of the church. Look at verse 15, part B. Your love for all the saints. Having heard of the faith in Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Two things he heard. The faith of the church, the love of the church. For that reason, he is thanking God. Paul connects an additional element that he heard about Ephesians, which caused him to thank God, especially love, second part. Paul is thanking God because he heard their love. But there is an implication, brothers and sisters. Please understand, please listen. There is an implication here that we need to take into our lives. That is, people should talk about our life, our love. Do you accept with me? People should talk about our love. We should not remind people of our love again and again. I love you. Like, no, husbands to wives, and wives to husband, and children to children, parents to children, and children to parents. I love you. I love you. Because no, people talk, even Christians talk, right? I love you, I love you. But you should not promote that you are loving others. Why I'm saying this? After I heard, he heard the love of the church. That means people are talking about the love of the believers in that church. They are not talking. They are doing actions. They are loving. But what happened? No, people have seen their love. Then they are talking about. Can you see that church? That Cornerstone Community Church. They love God. They love people. Then people are talking about Cornerstone Community Church. Not Cornerstone Community Church is saying, I love, we are loving. So people should hear. That's what I heard. After I heard, I know you love, but I heard. It is true love. It is true love. This is evidence of a loving person. People witness their love. Even pastors and elders should know their love. You should not talk about. You don't need to blow your own trumpet. That is the simple way I can say it. People should talk about that happened. They have that the quality of Jesus Christ loving others. Here we have three characteristics of the love of the church. The first characteristic of love of the church is it is a divine love. It is a divine love. You want to know what kind of love this Ephesian church has? It is a divine love. Look at verse 15. Part B, it says, your love for all the saints. Can you see the word love? That is agape. That is agape love. That is divine love. A Greek word for love is agape here. They have agape love. They have divine love, which God has. This divine love is sacrificial. You know, brothers, this divine love is sacrificial. The same word used for God's love towards us, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Can you see that sacrificial love? God has sent his begotten Son. That shows it is sacrificial. Divine love is sacrificial love. God's love is sacrificial love. So they have he heard agape love of the church members. That is divine love. That is sacrificial love. Even Paul says to Galatians chapter 5 verse 13, he says, "For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." But he says, listen what he says, "But through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. It is sacrificial. It is serving others. So Paul heard about these church members. They are serving others sacrificially. They are giving themselves to others that he heard. They are not saying, people are talking about these church members, they are giving themselves to others. They are not living for themselves because they know agape love, God's love. That is divine love. Even Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He met their needs, right? Washing their feet. He showed, "I want to serve you. You want to follow me." This is exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do. You should love your brothers sacrificially. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what are the ways that you are loving your brothers and sisters sacrificially? If you don't have any answer, anything to say, that means you are not loving God. You did not understand what is the love means. You don't know the cross. You have to do something. I'm not saying you can do everything, become like, no, always looking after others, not looking after family, but after looking after your family, you should serve your people in the church, especially in this church. Pray for them. Spend time with them. Call them to your home. Go to their home. Help them in their need. Serve them in their need. And I don't want to say specific things. Whatever need, you need to serve them. What about in the church? So many things has to be done in the church. Are you serving? Pastor Sammy says again and again, no, he says, you should not come to the church to warm the chair. You should come to the church to arrange the chairs before people come and sit. You have to do something. You have to do something. Again, I was listening to testimonies about Pastor John. Pastor John used to tell in this way, no one should come into the church and sitting here and going there. Every person, every believer in the church has to serve sacrificially in their levels. This divine love is sacrificial. This divine love is unconditional. Romans chapter 5 verse 88. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Can you see that unconditional love? He is not seeing our worthiness. Just yet we are sinners, God loved us. It is unconditional. It is gracious. Brothers, the church loves other saints who are not loving them. These members in that church, they are loving others even though others are hurting them and saying bad things about that people. But still they love them because this love is unconditional. It is not thinking about what that person will give to me. It is about what I can do for my brothers and sisters in the church. You may ask, how can I love those who trouble me so much? You may ask, but meditate what God has done in your life. Even 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another." Above all. Above all means above all. Keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Do you know that verse? If you love your brothers and sisters, even though they are hurting you, it hurts you. But when you think about the love, forgive them and go them and love them. Show in your actions that you love them. Don't say "I love you" in your words. Show your love in actions. especially to your enemies, unbelievers, even especially in this context to your brothers and sisters. It is not only a divine love, and also the second characteristic of the church love is, it is an inclusive love. It is inclusive love. Verse 15, and your love for all the saints. Can you see that? All the saints. Inclusive, comprehensive. It is not connected to one person. I love this group, this line. I love those who sit in the middle. I love those who come very far. I love Goans. I love Andhra people. I love Keralites. No. Can you see that? Your love for all the saints. All the saints means it is inclusive, comprehensive. You have to show your love to all people. It should not be division in the church. We should not have political parties in the church. Because no, they love their party only, right? BJP people love BJP. Congress people love Congress. You know that? So they love those people. It should not happen in the church. It is inclusive love. It is divine love. It is inclusive love to all the saints. All the saints. They know that all of them have faith in Lord Jesus Christ. I should love them even though they hurt. If any church having any groups in the church, that church will not be used for God's kingdom. It is useless church. Which church has divisions and groups and loving particular peoples? No, you don't understand what God is demanding from you. I know you can love somebody more, but you should not neglect others at all. I'm not saying, I'm being practical, right? You cannot love how you love everybody, you know, but you should not neglect some people. You invite those people only to your home, your friends. Others are enemies, right? You talk, and if they are sick, you go and visit them, but somebody is sick in the hospital, you won't see their face. Because you love them, you don't love these people. Are you getting? So it is inclusive love. It is inclusive love to all the saints. All the saints. Not particular group. Brothers and sisters, I'm begging you and I'm requesting you that it is inclusive love. In early churches, they were keeping all the assets common for all the members under the apostle. Do you know that? Acts chapter 2. So all the assets they are keeping in common. This is my car. This is my house. See, I'm not saying that is narrative, right? We won't apply that right now. But what about you? They are sharing everything. They are thinking everybody is equal. Even rich churches used to send gifts to or money to other poor churches, especially Jerusalem church. Do you remember Paul was collecting offering to give other places? All saints, not only Cornerstone Community Church, those who come outside of our Cornerstone Community Church. Maybe some people visit us. Even they are saints, right? They are saints. You should not love based on MBBS. I used to say again and again, MBBS, you should not love based on MBBS. You know MBBS means? M refers to money. B refers to beauty. Another B refers to benefits that you receive from that person. And S refers to status. People love based on MBBS. You Cornerstone Church, you, all of you, brothers and sisters, you should not love based on MBBS. You should not love people because they have money. You should not love people because they have beauty. You should not love people because they have, like, benefit you receive from that person. You are so close to that person because you are getting benefit from that person. And you should not love people because of status that person has in society. One who sits back, one who sits front, all are equal. Your love for all the saints. Love for all the saints. Do MBBS. God will, God willing, man, don't love people because of MBBS. I appreciate, brothers and sisters, so many times you participated in giving your things to others. When Pastor Sammy says that, I commend you, brothers and sisters. You are doing that. But keep improve. Whenever things comes, no, somebody in other church needs something, then you give things to them. You love them. You share your love with them. I commend you, but increase that love. That leads us to the third characteristic of the church love is, it is a constructive love. It is divine love. Say with me, it is a divine love. It is, second one, inclusive love. Third one, it is a constructive love. Look at verse 15. And your love for all the saints. But we take for very lightly. But Greek idea is something else. Your love for all the saints refers to for the advantage of all the saints. Your love for the advantage of all the saints. For the benefits of all the saints. So you need to show your love. This love is helping others to be benefited. They are loving saints for their benefits. Building others spiritually, physically, mentally. Helping others, loving them for their advantage. Not their advantage. Like, no, thinking about how can I help that person? How can I build that person? It is a constructive love. It is a constructive love. Selfless love. Sometimes we love those who love us return, right? This is called sinful and selfish love. We help and serve them and love them by expecting returns. Expecting returns. It should not happen. If you love, you are thinking about that person's advantage. You are not thinking about your advantage by loving. Do you know some people do that? People love others for their advantage. For their advantage. You should not love for your advantage. You should think about what that person is needed. How I can benefit that person. That's when it is very clear. Your love for all the saints. You are building others by your love. Husbands love their wives to build them. Wives love their husbands to build them. Children love their mommy, daddy to build them. To seek advantage of those people. You are not loving saints. If you are not loving saints inclusively, purely, like sacrificially, unconditionally, you are sinning against God. The fact is that you don't love God. You don't love God. That's why you don't love others. That is the mark. You are not loving God. Result of that, you are not loving saints. You are hating them. You are biting your teeth against some people because you don't love God. Even though you say that, I love God, but you are not loving God. One who loves God, he loves brothers, neighbors. The mark of true believer is loving others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 18 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God, knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. Did you see that? I am not saying, John is saying that. If you are not loving, that shows you don't know God. Even though you are shouting and speaking and saying that I love God with microphone and shouting in the streets, I love God. If you are not loving your brothers, that shows you don't know God. Again, that refers to, that indicates you know Satan. You don't know God. You are cheating yourself. You are deceiving yourself that you know God by hating somebody else in the church. But it should be practical, right? Things will come among us. We all are sinners, right? All are sinners. Things will come. But it should not be delayed. Like, no, not forgiving them. Like, no, keeping that bitterness in us. It should not happen. Things will come. We are not living in the heaven. We are living on the earth. We are sinful people. Things will come. That time, we need to think about God. Because God loved me, I should love them. Those things are happening in the church in Ephesus. I heard that you love all the saints. You know that you are practicing divine love, which is sacrificial, which is unconditional. I know you are practicing inclusive love. You are not having some groups. Then you see everybody is equal. The third one, you are loving. You have constructive love. You are practicing constructive love. That means you are thinking about others. The first great North Africa theologian was Tertullian. He lived AD 160 to 220, early church age. Godly man, Tertullian. He was raised in a pagan family. He was educated in Latin grammar and heretic philosophy, and he became lawyer. He was converted to Christianity and was ordained as priest or elder in that church. Tertullian is now called the father of Latin theology. He wrote many books in Latin. He is the father of Latin theology. One of the ministry of Tertullian is, brothers and sisters, listen. One of the ministry of Tertullian is, he used to defend the Christian life, Christian practices. Then he used to argue that the Christian life as taught in a scripture, practiced in the church, was morally superior. He directly attacked the pagan beliefs, practices, as superstitions and immoral. Can you see that? The pagan theology, pagan doctrines are immoral things. They don't have life. But Christian theology produces life. Then he says, he wrote one book called To the Gentiles and Apology. In that he wrote like this. He wrote that pagans looking at Christians and saying, look how they love one another. Pagans are saying, look how they love one another. They themselves hate one another. Pagans, they hate one another, but looking at Christians, look how they love one another. And they are saying like this, how they are ready to die for each other since we are trying to kill each other. So we are hating others, we are trying to killing others, but these men, these Christians, so different. So he is defending the gospel through the life of believers by showing the love of Christians. So in the early church, pagans easily can understand who is following Christ, who is not following Christ, based on their love. So he was doing that. Even Jesus said in this way, John Gospel chapter 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. You have love for one another. If you have love for one another, people can recognize this woman, this man is disciple of Christ. How you love, based on your character, how you are loving, by seeing love. Paul has seen, he heard the love of the church in Ephesus. Brothers and sisters, will people recognize you as disciple of Christ by seeing your love, love for your brothers, loving one another? God may help us to thank God, those who have faith, those who have love. The remaining two marks will be in part two, continued in part two. So time is up, so I'm closing now. So it is essential prayer for the church. three marks of an essential prayer. The first mark of essential prayer is it contains thanksgiving to God. Are you thanking God for these things? Praise God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, such a great word you have given to us through Paul by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for challenging us and giving example of godly life of early church members. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, giving us great faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have faith in you, but sometimes we lack love, Lord, that we need to love one another. Lord, help us, Lord, to glorify your name by loving one another in this church. In Jesus' name I pray.